The title of our lesson tonight is Obtaining the Principal Thing. Obtaining the Principal Thing. On your introduction, if you have your study there, we mention here in our previous study of James 1, 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1, we looked at the fact that patience and Christian maturity are forged in the furnace of trials. Amen? And listen, we may not choose that, but God simply says there in verse 3, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then he tells us to let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience and Christian maturity are forged in the furnace of trials. In this study, we will examine the need for wisdom. The need for wisdom, which Proverbs 4:7 says is the principal thing. And one of the writers that I enjoy reading after, a fellow named Lehman Strauss, he pastored in Highland Park, Michigan, many, many years ago. Great, great Bible expositor. He said this, the second lesson, speaking of wisdom, is closely related to the first, since there is no greater need for wisdom than when one is passing through some deep trial of affliction. It is difficult to act wisely when we have been wronged or when we are suffering. So these verses in the context are very, very related one to another. When we are going through the trying of our faith, and yes, God is working and giving us patience, but we need His wisdom during the trials. All right. Number one, Roman numeral number one there, I want you to notice the learning. And then we have James 1:5 there, the rendering of wisdom. So first blank line, learning. Second blank line, the rendering of wisdom. What does it mean? What is the definition of wisdom? First of all, let me say this, and we'll go to these verses here. Wisdom is not merely knowledge. Wisdom is not merely knowledge. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please, together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We see a great contrast in this passage between wisdom and knowledge. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 20. You just find your place when you get there. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye called in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as He is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We see in this passage, you see the world's knowledge should be stronger than God's wisdom, but it's not. It's not. Okay, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And we see here, again, difference between wisdom and knowledge. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Isn't that even true today? Boy, if somebody's got a lot of knowledge, they seem to think a lot of themselves. On your blank line here, biblical wisdom is not rooted in theories and ideas, but rather in the real world of discernment and correct practical application of knowledge. Say it again. Biblical wisdom is not rooted in theories and ideas, but rather in the real world of discernment and the correct practical application of knowledge. We have a reference there. It's James 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good, knowledge, but doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, this person knows what it is, but they don't do it. Wisdom has much less to do with knowing than it has to do with doing right by what we know. Difference there, okay? This idea of wisdom. Let's look, if we could, number one, at the nature of wisdom. The nature of wisdom. Wisdom is found within, and by the way, I could have made this the entire 3-page lesson on the nature of wisdom. I hope you folks understand there's so much more to this. We're I think it was Sam Jones. He used to preach his Tomcat sermon. And they said, Sam, what do you mean by your Tomcat sermon? He said, I'm going to scratch everything. And you know what we can do tonight? Honestly, we can just scratch a little bit. We could literally be on the nature of God. I was telling the folks in my Sunday school class this Sunday, we're talking about God. I said, they teach entire semester courses at Bible College on God. We're going to get through it here in just a few weeks. And here, just a few points concerning the nature of God, the nature of wisdom, rather. Wisdom is found within, go back to 1 Corinthians there, 1 Corinthians Chapter 1, verse 24. It says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay, if you would, go over to Colossians chapter 2 from Corinthians. Take a right turn there, and we'll go to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3 says, and boy, this is great for any church right here, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And all God's people said, it has nothing to do with our message tonight. It's just a great part of the verse. Amen. And unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The first part of the nature of wisdom. Wisdom is found within, number one, the Son of God. First bullet point there. Wisdom is found within the Son of God. And by the way, if you're going to have wisdom, you have to have the proper relationship with the Son of God. Amen? You cannot have God's wisdom without having Christ as your Savior. Just can't have it. Amen. You can't have it. You can search and search and search, but you're going to be like those Jews and those Greeks that we read about in 1 Corinthians. It's going to be a stumbling block and it's going to be foolishness. You have to know the Son of God and know that your sins are forgiven. Secondly, not only the wisdom is found within the Son of God, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, all the way back in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Fifth book of the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The nature of wisdom. Wisdom is found within the Son of God. Wisdom is also found here, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. it says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation and a wise and understanding people." Then if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Not only the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen, but the Word of God. The nature of wisdom, it is found within the Word of God. Listen, read the Word of God to be wise. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Just the book of Proverbs alone will help you in this area. And then thirdly, wisdom is found within the Son of God. Wisdom is found within the Word of God. Over to Psalm chapter 111, the book of Psalms, right before Proverbs. As the old black preacher said, the palms and the preserves, amen, right next to one another. And I like them both. Psalms chapter number 111, verse 10. And sometimes we forget about this, because certainly wisdom, the nature of wisdom, is found within the Son of God and the Word of God. But also, if you read Psalms chapter 111, verse 10, it says here, "The wicked shall see it and be grieved." That is not the right verse, amen. I'm reading the wrong, there it is, Psalm 111, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of..." So you have the Son of God, the Word of God, and the fear of God. Listen, this is the essence of wisdom for His creatures. No man is wise who, first of all, does not believe in God. I don't care how many, they can have more degrees than a thermometer. They're not wise. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." God wrote it twice in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1. The fool, not wise. But the person that walks in the fear of the Lord, Lord willing, Sunday night we're going to talk about the godly man. The ungodly and the godly are contrasted all through the Bible, from Cain to Abel all the way to the end, from the Antichrist, amen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need, if we're going to have wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We cannot have wisdom without the fear of the Lord. So the nature of wisdom. Wisdom is found within the Son of God, the Word of God, the fear of God. Number two, the benefits of wisdom. Go to Proverbs, and we'll move through these quickly because, boy, I'm looking at that time. It gets away so quick, amen. Proverbs, the benefits of wisdom. And again, we're just scratching the surface on the benefits of wisdom here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, we see many, many benefits in this passage. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof, and then fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in the right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." The first thing we have there is one of the benefits of wisdom is it brings happiness. The reason why we have so many unhappy people is, first of all, they've never got to know the Son of God, in whom all wisdom is. They've never got to reading the Word of God, and they've never got to understand it's the fear of God that's the beginning of wisdom. One of the benefits of wisdom is happiness. Secondly, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." It not only brings happiness, but it brings honor. Bible wisdom brings honor. And then if you go over to Proverbs chapter 24, just a few pages over there, Proverbs chapter 24, and those of us that have small children, praise God for this. Those of you that have grandchildren, praise God for this. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding is it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Thirdly there, it brings happiness, it brings honor, it builds homes. It builds, and by the way, I'm not talking about the bricks and the mortar. Though I'm glad for wise people that built this building. Listen, it's the wisdom of the Son of God. It's the wisdom of the Word of God. It's the wisdom of the fear of God that builds homes, that builds lives, that builds children. So we looked at the nature of wisdom. We looked at the benefits of wisdom. Let's look, if we could, lastly tonight, at the value of wisdom. We already looked at one of the passages there in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We'll go back there, take a look at that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And it says there, for the merchandise of it, speaking of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. The first part of the value of wisdom, blank line there, is it's precious. Wisdom is precious. Talking about wisdom that we get from God, amen. Wisdom that we get. If any man lack wisdom, that's what we're talking about here tonight in this first point. Not only is it precious, but according to Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is not only precious, but it's principal. Okay? It's principal. Or we would say maybe primary. Amen? It's important. Lastly, back over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're talking about the learning or the rendering of wisdom. Defining wisdom. Wisdom's not merely knowledge. Biblical wisdom is not rooted in theories or ideas, but rather in real-world discernment, correct practical application of knowledge. A person may have a lot of knowledge, but not be very wise. If we could say it this way, biblical knowledge, much like in our day, have you ever heard the term, you don't hear it anymore, but I'm glad for it, horse sense. Amen? Biblical knowledge many times has to do with horse sense. Just getting to know the Son of God, getting to obey in the Word of God, and fearing God. That's spiritual horse sense. Amen. Wisdom. Lastly tonight, look at James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, and that's the kind we're looking for. Amen. We don't want that kind that's a couple verses up, talking about strife and bitter envyings and confusion and every evil work. That wisdom is from below. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's pure. The value of wisdom, it's precious, it's principal, and it's pure. And you know what, folks? We need it. I need it. And we're going to talk about, boy, there's so much in this lesson. I know we'll just get through a page each week and we'll go as the Lord leads. Amen. But you can take it home and study this. Amen. Father, Lord, we want to obtain the principal thing. We want wisdom. God, help us to have the right relationship with the Son of God. God, to dive into the Word of God that we may be wise. Lord, you told us of a wise man that built his house upon the rock. He was the man who heard your sayings and did them. Lord, but also, not only that we would have the Son of God and get in the Word of God, but that the fear of God would be evident in our lives by our conduct. For our lives tell you whether we fear you or not. Lord, not that we walk around waiting for you to beat us on top of the head with a club, but rather we have a holy, reverent fear of who you are. Like, much like a child has a fear of his father, a reverence. God, help us to give you the reverence that you deserve. We pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Lord, I know as a pastor, so many times I lack wisdom. God, I need it. And I pray that you'd give it. Lord, you told us that you give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. We pray that you'd please be with us tonight as we close in our invitation time. And Lord, especially as the deacons go over to Miss Nancy, and Lord, anoint her with oil tonight and pray for her to be healed. We just pray that you'd help us. Pray that you'd be with her. Lord, we thank you and love you in Jesus' name.